Good morning, everyone. It's a privilege to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And God is good, as Ella said, and all the time God is good, even when things are not going the way that we want or we expect. We still know that God is good. We were singing that song in the morning, the evening, he's with us in our coming and our goings. But you know, it's such a sweet song to sing. But when trials come, sometimes you don't even remember those words, that he's with us in the morning and the evening, because sometimes the trials of life are so heavy that you can be weighed down, that you forget that God is even gone before you to make every crooked road straight. And that's why we always need to have a lifting of our spirits. So we all know we're doing Luke, and we are in Luke 15. So basically, it's just a chapter about parables. Parables that Jesus spoke to his disciples. So we're going to begin with verse 1, and it said, "Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus preach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious laws complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them." You know, it says that notorious sinners, tax collectors, all the people that would be classed as not good or bad or wicked, gathered to the source of goodness. So that speaks about the presence of Jesus. Evil and wickedness cannot withstand the power of Jesus, because even though they knew what they were doing was bad, they still wanted to be in the presence of the person that was speaking good. And that's because Jesus showed them love. Despite of what they've done or the lives that they live, he is the definition of love, and he welcomed them. It said he even ate with them. And we know back in those days, they said having a meal was a blessing. To sit and eat with others, it's a blessing, a time of sharing. So that also speaks of Jesus' character from the beginning. When God said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son," he didn't come just for us that know Christ. He came for the sinners. That was his main purpose. Because if all good people go to heaven, how many good people are going to be in heaven? Very, very few. Because even though we say that we are followers of Christ and we are Christians and we walk with God, every day we fall short of his glory. So it could happen the day he comes and we've not been watching, we've not been doing what we've been supposed to do, or we're having a big argument with our wives and saying all the bad things we are not supposed to say, and then boom. Yeah. So it's a lot to really think about. Our characters need to match the character of Jesus, which is easier said than done. So we are moving along because not that much time. So Jesus told this story. If a man had 100 sheep and then one of them was lost, what would he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for that one that was lost until he finds it? Now we all know the definition of sheep. Sheep are very silly animals. We know that. We know that a sheep has to have a shepherd to be led. Otherwise, it will just stand there, or they'll all just run around butting their heads together. And in this parable, Jesus is saying, if you lose one sheep, it is more important to go back for that one that you have lost than to go with the 99 and leave that one. And if we try to look at it in our understanding, it doesn't really make sense, because you're just losing one. But if something is missing, because if we've got 99p and we don't have that 1p, you can't make a pound. It's incomplete. So as much as that one lost sheep might look like it's not valuable, it's an asset to the completion of the sheep that are going to go into that pen, because every sheep has a purpose. Every penny has a value. Every person has a purpose. So we are not completed without coming together and each of us putting in the work. A church is not built on one man. A church is built on the community, because everyone has something that they need to gather. But we have a shepherd, which is the pastor of the church, where he leads. But if we are not willing to follow, he can't lead us because he can't force us. He can nudge us and push us. But if you're stubborn and illiterate sheep, eventually you'll stay there and you'll fall into a hole. And because he's a good shepherd, he'll come back and he'll get you out. And he'll keep trying and he'll keep trying to get you now to walk in the right way. That is what Jesus does for us. Because Jesus can say, you know what, I've had enough of Karim. Can't be asked with this girl. Every day it's something different. Yeah, where would I be? Maybe just sitting eating some chicken, but that ain't going to get me to heaven. Yeah, but I need him not to give up on me. And also, we're not supposed to give up on others. It might look like we're trying with people all the time and you're getting the same results. But remember, that is what Jesus does for us. He tries with us every day. Like this morning, I woke up about 10 past 6. I was just lying on my bed. And I was like, Lord, is there anything else that you want me to add into this sermon? And I was just, and I think I was falling back to sleep. And I heard my phone ringing. I was like, who is this now? And I checked. And I picked up. And they were like, what were you doing? Did I wake? I said, no, I was awake. And the person on the other line, they were crying. And repeating things that I've heard for years. Because they do a repeat cycle. Every time. It turns out in the same thing. But the only thing different this time was that they acknowledge where the mistake began. I didn't have to say it. She acknowledged that this is the reason why I've done that. And that is the reason why I've done this. And then her next words were, I am lost. And I don't know what to do. And I said, well, if you're lost, let Jesus find you. Come back to church. You closed the doors for everyone that was available. So now you need to open the door. And your first step is to come back to church. So we were having an ongoing conversation speaking about the Lord. And basically it just was like a pity party. But long as I started the story, I said to her, listen, Jesus is the author of everything. And you're going to repeat this cycle until you decide, you know what, Lord, take full control of my life. I need you, not the people in the world or that you think what they can give you. You need Christ. And then it just, you know, it was just like showing me the good shepherd that Jesus is. Because I could have been mad and run out of patience, but I was condemned not to get angry, not to say, well, I've told you so, you've done this over and over all the time. But it was just to say like, okay, I understand, but get to Jesus. Amen. So we are moving along. Sorry, guys. I'm not 100%, but. So it says that when he found the sheep, he called together his friends, neighbors, and saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Imagine when we speak to someone about Christ and we tell them about the Lord and they decide, I'm going to give my life to God. Yeah, they're going to give their life to the Lord and they come into the kingdom. They ask the Lord to be with them, to walk with them. And we tell them all the good things about Christ and we tell them about being with God and walking with him. But one thing that we don't tell them is about the trials that they will encounter on this journey. Walking with Jesus ain't no bed of roses. Anybody that has walked with Jesus and have not encountered anything, you're going to encounter something. Because walking with Jesus is a trial. Walking with Jesus is hard. Because you're killing that flesh. And you're walking with the Lord. You have to walk a holy life. You cannot walk in familiarity. What you've known all your life is that you've changed completely. That's why he said you've been washed clean and born again. Because when we give our life to Christ and we get baptized, old things are passed away and new things are resurrected. But those new things are not resurrected right away when you come out the water. It's an ongoing process. And in that process, you can get tired and you can be thinking like, come on, God. In the world, did I really face all these trials? It looks like it sometimes that you face more trials when you walk with the Lord. But the good thing about it is that you're not walking alone. You've got your Savior beside you. And you have been guaranteed victory. Because any battles that we have fought, we survived them, and we're here as a living testimony to say that Jesus is true to his word. He will never leave us and he will never forsake us. Because if he did, all those battles that we face, we would not be able to speak about them today. And we would not be, we wouldn't be here. Pastor Rob is not just a pastor because God said, I have favored you. No, he's a pastor because God can see his heart. And God is like, I can take this broken man and use him and shape him and mold him into the man of God that I have created him to be. So we might see people and we might be thinking, oh, you're standing so strong and you're so powerful. Have a day in that person's life and you'll take that all back. We might say, oh, I want to be a pastor. Be very careful. Because being a pastor is everything being stripped away from you. You are naked before the Lord and you are held accountable for the sheep that you lead. So do not be sitting and saying like, I want to be a pastor like Pastor Rob. I do not. Thank you. Just making it known. Moving on. I am not ready to endure those trials. I'm barely standing with the ones that I've got. And so I don't want to lead any sheep because we all will end up on that grass grazing, not going anywhere, no water to drink. We'll die of thirst. Sorry. Sorry, guys. So we're on verse 8. And it's basically similar to what verse 1 to 7 was saying about a lady that was looking for her 10 silver coins. She lost one and she swept the house and she looked for it. She looked for it and she looked for it until she found it. And that is like Jesus. We can walk in a world of sin for so long. But when he's ready to find us, he will move everything to bring us out. You know, they have a saying, you can run, but you can't hide. That is like Jesus. We can run. And he'll let us run and he'll give us all that rope to run. And then one day he'll be like, come, I've had enough. I'm pulling you back. And as much as you fight it, you have to give in because it's your calling. And the love is so nice and so warm, you just want to dwell in his presence. And we do that for our children. Because if our children are facing battles, we go to war. We pray. We stand fast. We ask people to pray for us. We get together in the group and we pray. Until that child comes in alignment or whatever issue that we're feeling, we tackle it with prayer. We search for a solution. And she knew, if I did not find my one coin, what would I do? I'll be short. And maybe she needed to pay rent or whatever it did that she had to do. But I love the gesture after. Come and rejoice with me in my victory. It's not just my victory. It's our victory. She could have said, you know what? Nobody helped me look for that coin, so nobody needs to rejoice with me. But no. Everybody needs to rejoice because one victory among the church is a victory for everyone. One battle fought in the church is a battle that everyone has won. Because none of us fight different battles. They might come at different times, but we all will fight individual battles. And because we stand in the place of unity and we stand on the word of God, we will overcome those battles that has come. Amen? Moving along, guys. Pastor Rob, I'm watching you. If I catch you with your eyes closed one more time. I'm watching. I know. You hear what they said. Do not sleep. Be woke. So we are. Okay, we're moving along now because we're running out of time, guys. So then he's illustrating the parable of the prodigal son. We all know that story, so I don't need to read it. Or do I need to read? Yeah. A man had two sons. The younger one told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. Entitlement. I want my share of your estate. How do you even know that you have a share? What did you do to build that foundation? What did you plant into that foundation to build that estate that you can come and say you have a share? That's us with Christ. God, I want you to provide this to me because I need it, and I need it by 6 o'clock tomorrow, because if you don't give me, this is what is going to happen. What have you invested into the kingdom that you can cash out from the kingdom? It's a question. If we have not invested anything to God, why are we expecting to cash out something from the kingdom with entitlement? God, I need to go there because Femi offended me, so I think that you should punish him. Yeah, we say those things. We act like we're entitled. Oh, God, I don't like how this person spoke to me. I bind every word that they have spoken. And the word that person spoke to you is a word of love and correction. But because your mind is so small to accept it, you want to go to God. Please, can you tell Pastor Rob not to speak to me in such a harsh way? Then don't act like you're sinning. He wouldn't speak to you in a harsh way. You cash out what you get. Ain't it? Ain't anybody say amen now? So anyways, a few days later, the younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And the thing about it, as I was going through, I was thinking, why did he go to a distant land? But you know, like when we want to do our mischief, we always go someplace that no one knows us. Yeah, because nobody knows you, so you can drink, you can smoke, you can go into the nightclub, you can sleep around, because nobody knows you in Manchester. They only know you in Lee. So you go to Manchester, you party all night, then you come back to Lee. And Pastor Rob sees you, and you're like, hi, Pastor, you know, I've been away on a retreat. Lies. But because he didn't see you, he's like, okay. But listen, everything that happens in the dark must come to light. So he goes on now and he squanders off his money. He spends all his money in the distant land. He didn't even say, you know what? Dad, give me what is mine from your kingdom and let me invest it back into your kingdom that we can multiply it in your kingdom for the generations to come. No. So he goes now and he squanders it into another place that has no foundation, no morals, nothing that he is used to. And he ends up not having any money, and a great famine came. And as the famine came, he went and he asked a man that owned a pigsty, because they didn't give him a name, if he could work. And the man was like, yes, you can work. So imagine, fall from grace. Stupidity. That's like God saying, Ella, walk this road. Why? Because I said, no, I'm going to go left. God is saying, walk right, because if you go left, there's an accident there, and I don't want you to get involved in it. But you know, this father didn't even say to his son, no. He just gave it to him, because the father knew, you will be back. You are going to come back. The same thing with God. God might take a while to give us what we want, but we can force his hand to give us what we want. But then you don't enjoy that blessing because you weren't prepared. So even though he got what he thought he was entitled to, half of the father's whatever, because he said, from your whatever is yours, that I want my share, he was not prepared to use his share. Because while he was in the father's house, he was being trained to be responsible. He was sheltered. He was taken care of. His meals were prepared. He didn't have to worry about spending his money because it was well spent by the dad. But now, because he was not prepared and he goes out into the world, he squanders everything, ends up in a pigsty. And then, I love it when he said, I came to my senses. That's verse 17. When he came to his senses, but the Holy Spirit showed me, is when he became awoke. Because all his life he was asleep. Because the dad cuddled him, so he was asleep. And he thought that life was a bed of roses until he got out into the world and realized, you know what? My father cuddled me so much, I didn't even know what hardship meant. So as he became awoke and realized, you know what, I'm a fool. Let me go back to the place where everything was greener on the other side. He got up and he goes back and he's like, ooh, the servants in my father's house, they eat proper food and they have even food to spare. Imagine that. I want to be a servant, but in God's house. Because I want the blessings to overflow and be bountiful. We might say, oh, being a servant is not good. But when you are a servant of the Lord, you are more blessed. Because you're working in the kingdom. You are working for God. Let me be a footstool at the altar for Christ. Yeah, God, put your foot on me. Because when you remove that foot, I'm ready for anything that is coming. Because while I'm in the place of submission, I'm being pruned. I'm being shaped. I'm being equipped that when I go out into the world and I meet somebody with a demon, I don't need to back away. I can say the blood of Jesus, I bind you. Because while I was in the waiting, I was being prepared. Amen. Got a bit of fire there. Oh.
Sorry, guys. I need it for myself. I've had a really rough week, but. It's not just to me.
It's for all of us. Where are we now?
Sorry, guys. So he goes back home. And he said, I'm going to go to my father and say, Dad, I've sinned against heaven and you. I like that. His first thing was, I've sinned against heaven. So which means that the seeds that the father sowed into him were still there. Because he acknowledged that he sinned against God first, then his father. And as he asked the father, he said, the father saw him from a distance. We know our children. Pastor Rob can see Grace standing in the middle of 10 women. There's something distinguished about Grace that he can say that is Grace without a shadow of a doubt. Because he spent his entire life with her, knowing her characteristics. So this father said he saw his son from a distance. Now imagine seeing your prodigal son from a distance. That first he was behaving like he was entitled, wanting his money. He took his money, then he left. He went and squandered it. And you can look and see he's coming back looking like a pauper. But the love of God that lives within that father, it said, he ran out into the field with arms open to greet his son. Me, I'd be like, where are you going? Are you broke? Don't come. No. We would have said that. We'd be like, don't come back now. You're broke. Go back and live your life. But the dad was happy to see him. Because in the dad's mind, when you went out into the world, you died. But somewhere along the line, you were resurrected and you decided to come back into the kingdom. It's the same thing with God. We can walk with Christ and then we get tired and we get weary and we want to do things on our own. And we start a bit living a bit worldly and we get a bit carried away. But then we become a walk again and we're like, you know what? Let me go back to Daddy because he's the safe place. And I know that when I go back to him and I'm repentant with a good and clean heart, he will open his arms and receive me. And I will be born again because every time that he has to cleanse me, I am being made clean. I am being made whole again. Every old thing that was attached to me while I went out into the world, my new encounter with Christ changes that. The son that left was not the son that came back. The son that left was proud. The son that came back was humble and understood the assignment. It is not about you. It is about what God wants for you. Don't get it twisted. We have no control over our lives. God is in control. All we have to do is follow. And things will be so much easier. But we get complacent along the way, especially if we get a blessing. If we pray for something and we get a breakthrough, we no longer remember to pray to God. We start worshiping that blessing because you know what? God has blessed me with a new car so I can drive here and I can drive there. And you don't even remember to pray because that prayer has been answered. So you don't need to seek the Father's face anymore because you've got that blessing, that one blessing that you've asked for. So you go out and you live anyhow and you're happy. Sometimes you don't even come back to church because you've got what you wanted. No, we're being real. We come into church and we pray and be like, pray for me. I'm going through this. Pray for me. I'm going through that. My children are going through this. You attend church every Sunday. You're on prayer meeting every 7:30 every morning. But then as you get that blessing, we see the back of you. But hold on. The anointing does not come from what you get. It is how you receive that blessing. The person that blesses you get the blessing. They've already acquired their blessing because they've done it from a place of love without even expecting anything from you. It's how you receive that blessing. That son received that blessing with greed. So as quick as he got it, as quick as it was gone. Because he didn't receive it with gratitude. He received it with entitlement that this is the part of my inheritance. And he added, before my father dies. So you can't even wait for your dad to die. You wanted the blessing before he died. So it's like, hurry up and die. Or just give me quick. Let me just go. And that's the way that we behave sometimes when it comes to the Lord. It's all about what I want. It's all about what I can take. It's all about what I can receive. But then when the Lord asks, what are you going to give? You don't have anything to give. Because everything that you've taken, it didn't sink in. It didn't do anything in you. Because your heart was not right. This week, I had a rough week. God, I'm going to finish up now. And you know, like the Lord speaks to us sometimes and we're just so, really? Sometimes you think like, God, you're too much. Or I think that, I don't know. Like, sometimes like, God, you're just too much. Like, that's not even the way that it is. And I'm proper trying to justify myself like, no, that's not how it is, God. Anyway, so I've been having a rough week. Everything is just crumbling down, falling on me. I'm thinking like, come on now, give me a break. Really? Just give me one little break. But I can't get a break because my spirit is not right. And I'm not listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to justify what he's pointing out that isn't right. And because it's my kids. When the Holy Spirit said, who do you love more? I said, Hey, God, oh, this one is serious. I swore that I was hearing things. I didn't even answer. And it was louder. Who do you love more, me or your kids? I say, God, you. No, you don't love me more because you've compromised for your kids. I say, hey, God, this is hot. I'm telling you. The Lord said your kids have become an idol in your life. And anything that is an idol must go. So decide. I say, hey, me, I cried. I cried like they say, no more chicken. I cried. I sat there and I cried. Because in my mind, it was like, why would you force me to choose? But it was never a choice. Because the kids aren't mine. In reality, they belong to God. And I had to say, you know what, God, forgive me. That's why I was staying to Steppy early in the kitchen. And I cried. And I didn't cry because of my disobedience. I cry because of the faithfulness of God. That even when we don't see where we are going, he will come and he will say, listen, this is what you're doing. Stop. And I said, well, Lord, since I started walking with you, I've become a very big softy. I cry very easily now. So you need to give me the words to speak to these kids because I don't want to be on my own. And I kid you not, I'm being very truthful. And I sat there because I felt like if I speak to my kids, I'm going to be on my own. And it was an awful feeling because I was like, my life is my kids. And the Lord said, that's where the problem is. Your life is your kids. Your life is not mine. And it woke me because I was asleep. I said, God, I repent. Give me the words to speak. And I sat there on that bed for the whole day and I cried. In the nighttime, about 7, the Lord prompted me. I've prepared their hearts now. And I got up And I went and I got Rashida. And I spoke to her first. God never fails. When I say to you that God never fails, she said, Mom, I understand. And we will do it. I was like, God, you are faithful against everything. You never leave, you never forsake. Then I tackled the others. Was it really the others? Just the two girls as usual. And they were prepared. God prepared their hearts. And further into the conversation, God was also speaking to Rashida. And that prodigal son became a prodigal daughter, me. Not even realizing that I had put my kids before the Lord. And if we sleep, we will find that we're in a place and we don't even know that we're in that place. And sleeping, as Ellen, Pastor Rob said, is just not praying. Because I got to a place, I was like, you know what, Lord, they're yours. Just do what you want to do. But that's not the answer. We have to pray. We have to rise up when we see things happening or we see behaviors. We have to rise up and pray. And as I came back, like the prodigal daughter, because I had idols, 5 kids, I realized, like, no. If I end up alone, I'm still never alone. Because with Christ with me, I can never be alone. And as I spoke to Steppy in the kitchen, she was just reminding me of some stuff years ago that happened. And she was like, I've been there. She said, Kerry, I'm telling you, it's awful, but you will make it. Because I have made it. And I'm a definition. And you know, as I was going through that on Saturday and Friday, because of Friday it was bad, and then Saturday, all yesterday I was just thinking, I need Steppy. And then I came to church and I didn't see, I was like, and then I saw her and my heart just went like a child wanting your mom, because for me she's that mother figure. And as she wrapped her arms around me for the first time since Saturday, I cried. I was able to release it because I needed that pillow to just say, like, I can't, just catch me. And just like the prodigal son's dad, Steffi was there with her arms open and she just grabbed me. And it felt so good to know, like, yes, I'm not fighting alone. I've got people that are fighting for me. And, you know, that is also the love of God. And I just wanted to share that. But God is good. And all the time, God is good. And if we remain faithful to him, he will be faithful to us. And even if we're not faithful to God, he is faithful to us because he's not a man. He never lies and he never has to repent. So I pray that you guys will have a wonderful week. I pray that God will move in your life and in the life of your children. And any situation that you might be facing, that you will put God first and let him take full control. I pray that we will surrender even the things that we don't say out loud to God. And that he will continue to move in our lives and to move in our church. And please remember what Pastor Rob said earlier. We need to rise up and pray. Because that is the only weapon that we have to fight every battle, is to pray. Be blessed.
Amen. You're getting old now. You say I'm getting old.
Yeah, you didn't.
I've got a dodgy knee, right? I'm not getting old. I'm nearly...
Let's pray for that dodgy knee. Are you joining me? Let's pray for Pastor Rob.
Yeah.
The Bible declares that Jesus was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that gave us peace fell on him, and by his stripes we are healed. Pastor Rob needs this knee to walk around and do the work of God. So let's pray all together and ask for healing in Jesus' name. Father, we just want to bring your servant before your throne of grace, Lord. Father, healing was purchased on that cross, Father God. And we bind that spirit of infirmity. We curse every root of pain right transgression or everything that needs to be regenerated for this